about you and come closer to you. Amen. Do you believe what you're told? In a restaurant, the server will often say, "Be careful, the plates are hot." And so often, the person just has to touch the plate to check. Why don't they believe what they've been told? It could be that we don't know the server, and therefore we don't trust what they say. If we know Jesus, we know that we can trust what he says. When asked which is the greatest commandment, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is no half-hearted commandment, and no half-hearted response will be enough. Worship is the central activity of the church and has been since Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden and had the perfect relationship with God, which was possible at first as there was no sin. But then sin entered the world and life changed. Worship now involves sacrifice to cleanse us so that we might enter into the presence of God. The beginning of sin, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, is known as the fall, and what was lost was our perfect relationship with God. The rest of the Old Testament is the story of how God was working towards restoration of people's relationship with him. Worship is the key to our relationship with God. Worship isn't just something we do in church, liturgy, singing, praying, hearing the Bible and learning. It should encompass our whole lives by putting God at the centre of our lives. From Matthew, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus said, "All your heart." Worship is not just for show. It's not an act as an actor plays a part. Even if we hear and speak the same words that we have heard and spoken many times before, it is a new experience because we have changed and the people around us have changed. Don't let it become just another Sunday, just another service. Don't leave without acknowledging the love of God for us all. You can't truly love someone you don't know. We need to get to know God to love him. And as our relationship with God grows, so too our love for him may grow. Our love for God is our response to his love for us. If we don't expect to experience God's love, to feel valued by him, then it's unlikely that we will. Someone yet to experience God's love may ask where they will find it. They should see it and feel it in the welcome they receive in church, see it on the faces of those around them, in the smiles and words, in the actions of those who claim to be Christians. From Psalm 34, "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Let us worship God together. Such an important word, together. We are part of the family of God. Some versions of the Bible say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." And we do that by letting others know of God's greatness in our lives, helping people to see what a difference our relationship with God makes to our lives. We may know of a famous person, know all about them, but without a personal relationship with them, we can't say that we know them. Without that relationship with God, we can't say that we know him, however much we know about him. Worship is about more than turning up here and following the order of service. It follows us out of here and into our day-to-day lives in the world. For worship is that which the church has been called to do and to become. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus provided the best summary possible of all the Old Testament teaching when he focused our attention on the priority of a right relationship with God and then with our neighbours. In St. Matthew, it's recorded that Jesus chose to use the words heart, soul, and mind. In St. Mark and St. Luke, they also add, and with all your strength. When Moses had delivered the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, he continued saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words emphasize the command to love God with our whole being. Moses told them that the commandments were to be on their hearts, that they were to talk about them with their children, at home and when they were out, from morning till night. And Jesus told us that to love God is the greatest of all the commandments. Love is the starting point for Christian ethics, for every decision about how we choose to live our lives. Loving God will lead us to wanting to make what God deems the right decisions. He said that the second command is to love your neighbour as yourself. To love someone is to want the best for them, and the best that we can want is that they come to know Jesus too. Love means recognising a need and responding to it. I can do that. I can help with that. I can explain that. I can listen. I can pray. When someone asks for our help, it's almost never the right time. We were just about to do something else. But God never said that life would be easy or restful. And God always has time for us. We're reminded of these two commandments in the service of Holy Communion. And we read, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I have the service sheet open in Word and search for the word hang just to check that quote. But the first instance I was unexpectedly faced with was in the middle of the word change. Change in our lives can be deliberate, planned, or come upon us suddenly, unexpectedly. Paul lived his life putting God's love for him, in him, into action, allowing God to change him. Changing his plans as directed by the Holy Spirit, who led Paul to several places where he was able to preach to the people and interpret the Old Testament scriptures. But each time he faced opposition from the Jewish leaders. In his letter to the Thessalonians, he tells them that when he was with them, he dared to tell them the gospel despite strong opposition. He gives us an example of how to share our faith, continue despite hardship and persecution, speak selflessly the true gospel with pure motives for God's glory. As a child, I hated car journeys and would constantly ask, "Are we nearly there yet?" People may see becoming a Christian as arriving at their destination, but it's really the beginning of a new journey, with heaven being our final destination. Our Christian journey is not a race with everyone for themselves, trying to win regardless of others in the race. Our Christian journey is one we should take together, helping each other, leaving no one behind. Paul describes his method of spreading God's word. In verse 8, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul ministered with humility, with care and sacrificial love. No wonder he wrote to them, "Our visit to you was not a failure." Paul spoke honestly and with conviction. And people will recognize when we do the same. But if we are to be honest with other people, we first need to be honest with ourselves and with God. Admit when we are struggling with faith or any aspect of life, when we need help, if it feels as though God has forsaken us. Paul didn't just turn up at the table, say the plate is hot and go away. He shared their lives. He built relationships, and that's why they believed him. We please God by helping each other to grow in faith. Asking questions is a way to grow, to learn. As a child, Jesus grew up in the Jewish tradition of learning through questioning. I'm sure there are groups here that you could go to be able to have an opportunity to ask questions. There won't always be an answer to those questions. One of the challenges of being a Christian is not to expect to find answers to all our questions, but to learn to live with the questions. In the reading from St. Matthew, we have several questions. First, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered him. Then Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" The Pharisees wanted a military leader to defeat their Roman enemies in battle, and they did not want to accept that Jesus, the Messiah, was just not that kind of leader. So they answered, "The son of David," and that was it. And they stopped asking questions because they did not want to hear the answers. They didn't want to face the truth of who Jesus really is. They didn't want to risk believing what Jesus was telling them. They were looking for victory in the worldly sense and peace in the worldly sense, but this was not what Jesus had come to offer. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The kind of peace that only Christ can offer, the peace that comes from loving God. We need to ask ourselves honestly what we think about Jesus, the Messiah, what difference this makes to our lives. Do we really want a relationship with Jesus Christ? Christian relationships must be built on love. Christian fellowship must be maintained in love. Christian service must be motivated by love. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength is quite simply about doing the right thing in the right way for the right reasons. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us the love of God. We want to love God, but it's not always easy. Give us the courage to surrender our lives to you. Give us the discipline to obey your every word. Fill our hearts with your passion. Fill our souls with your desires. Fill our minds with your truth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.